Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's HAYES. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hayes and the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Noodles in Ottawa calling a game. Al's brother will be in studio later in the hour simply for support, not for analysis, not for any details on who he would pick or why he would pick the game tonight, simply for support.
I got to come clean. You butchered what was supposed to happen. I was going to go on my own, but Al's brother was going to come in with the music in the last second, and we were still going to be boys, and it was going to be like, yeah, I can't live with you. You're my boy, Blue. And you completely butchered it, and it's over. Now we're still boys. I would never do it without him. He's my guy. He's my ride or die.
All right.
It was all fake, and you ruined it.
How did I ruin it? How am I supposed to know that this is what's happening? You didn't give me any details.
Dude, this is so stupid even explaining this. I feel like I'm 10 years old. But I told Mulls, I'm like, Mulls, tell Al's brother that I'm gassing him, but I'm not really gassing him, to have his picks ready, and it's going to be the same as usual. But I'm going to act like I'm doing it all on my own. But last minute, like the Al's brother intro comes in, and then we're like, we're boys again.
I love it. Okay. We can still reenact that.
We'll just 2 minutes ago, you go, oh, Dog and Al's brother are coming up after the break, and we're going to do the – I'm like, this guy's an idiot.
Well, because I feel bad for Al's brother. I mean, Al's brother, okay, he's in studio. Why don't we bring him in now, and you can – I guess
Mulls,
reveal...
give him the intro, Mulls.
Oh,
give
no, it's not even intro. Al's brother. It's Tux that's apparently on the line. He said,
dude,
I thought he meant that Al's brother was in studio.
Show. Come on.
Well,
you got your best friend on the line, and you're butchering the show.
Well, because he said he's there. I thought what Mullen was indicating was that Al's brother is in studio because I want to make sure he's still feeling included, right? Al's brother's your guy. He's our guy, and it's all good.
That's okay. It's all good.
Yeah, so you'll make your pick later. You and him are still boys, and we'll figure a way to make it work in terms of the production because you put in some effort here. I like it.
I did.
I like it. There's
now
a little bit of effort
gone.
Behind this.
Now it's all gone.
All right. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline here is friend of the show, our boy Darcy Tucker. What's up, Tux?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. I heard this morning that O-Dog was going to gas Al's brother. I was a little concerned, but O-Dog pulled one out of his hat, so it's good.
Yeah.
Tux, you got to tell us, Hazy was mentioning earlier – by the way, I know you guys are super buddies now. Has there been any, like, texts or anything of that matter regarding, like, doing stuff outside of the golf course? Like, I don't know what that would be. Go to a bar, dinner, anything like that?
Well, it's pretty tough to pull me away from the golf course considering I live there. I think my wife thinks my last name is golf. So, no. But, hey, listen, once the golf season's over and we'll have to get to the sim together, we'll work on
yes.
our games.
There you go. See, I told you you'd have it going. Like, all the boys have the sim. We need to get a sim going somewhere in Toronto at the golf course you're talking about right now. That's got to be the next wave. Set that up. But, yeah, it's getting close, man. Like, the golf course is closing down in a few weeks. Like, what's your lifestyle going to look like in a month?
Oh, it's going to be bad. I'm going to be very, very sad. I had to help fix my dryer at the house today. Things that I just don't like doing, Hazy. So it's going to be could be a tough winter for me.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I know where it's going to. I'm already having the chats with my wife about the plans around the house. We've got paint, all these things set up. We're hosting parties. We got birthdays around the corner. And I'm pushing it off as much as I possibly can. But anyway, we still got a couple weeks. So we get out there.
Yep.
We do our thing. And it's all good. And I know you follow the show and you follow the action that takes place. So you mentioned Al's brother. Do you ever take their advice when you're looking at a game, or do you fade Team Al Dog as much as possible?
I'm more of the fade Team Al Dog. They're hot and cold, and I just like to be cold, as it seems these days. So I stay away from them, and I'm getting rinsed anyway. So it doesn't really matter who I pick.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably wise advice. I mean, the old dog and Al's brother are not exactly on a heater right now either. So you're in good company when it comes to that. And I know the city was buzzing, the Leafs were buzzing, Michael Bunting buzzing about your tweet of approval a few nights ago where you like his style, you like what he brings to the table. I don't know if you see yourself in his game at all, but what is it about Bunting in particular that you've liked so much?
Yeah, you know what? I really enjoy his game. I think that he's in those areas that I really enjoy watching players play in. And you know what? Sometimes it's not the fancy stuff that gets the job done. And, you know, I really enjoy the way he goes about his business. He's not flashy. He's going to go get the puck. He's going to get it to the players that need to have it in their hands and then get to the dirty areas. And you saw the other night, that was a classic Darcy Tucker goal. O-Dog shot a few off my rear end. So I know the feeling about just going in that and bouncing off you. So listen, I'm enjoying watching. You know, he's a Toronto area guy. I heard you talking to Johnny. Scarborough's Toronto anyway, so it doesn't make one bit of difference. But it's, you know, it's a local kid that knows what it means to play in this market and is feeling good about himself right now.
Yeah, he's bringing a lot to the table. I mean, they've now that we're into it, Tux, I mean, we talk about it all the time on this show, and everyone talks about the Leafs all the time, and you get asked about them, I'm sure, everywhere you go. And there was a bit of a negative energy during the offseason because of what we saw the last time we saw them play. I mean, we know what happened against Montreal. But, oh, you were pumping this idea out for a while, that once the ball got rolling, the puck got dropped, they start winning some games, you know, the positive energy will kind of return to the city. And you're always around the city. You're around the fans. Are you picking up on that right now, that they got a couple of wins, Matthews is back, and kind of the past is in the past, and we'll see what comes of this upcoming season?
Well, first off, guys, like, honestly, just having the fans back in the building is, you know, every fan has been just kind of watching this from afar, and now they're getting the opportunity to get back in the building. And, you know, that's part of the reason why I'm here today, is the Molson Hall of Fan. You know, having the fans back in the building and being a part of this is extra special. Molson and the Leafs have a thing going on right now from October 20th to November 15th. And basically, you take a photo of yourself or a video, a small video, and send it in to MolsonHallOfFan.ca/Maple Leafs. And you could get a banner put up in the rink. Listen, it'd probably be the only banner that I ever get put up in there, and for sure the only banner O-Dog got put in there. But, I mean, I think this is a great initiative, having the fans back in the building. And, yeah, I feel the temperature of it. I'm, you know, whether it's we're chatting about it, you know, over a couple beers at lunch, a couple cold Molsons, but you know the temperature of the city is always going to be that way. You know, they're going to be up and down and all over the place. It's, as a player, you just got to enjoy all of it. You can't get too down when it's you're not playing well, and you can't get too high when you're riding the wave. And you got to be pretty even keel. And hopefully, you know, they got enough leadership in that locker room that have been around it for the last couple of years and know you got to be that way.
So me and Hazy can do a video of ourselves. And what do we text it to you?
You want to text it to me, and I'll throw it over to the Molson Hall of Fan people, and we'll see where it ends up. Oh, dog, I would love to see your grinning face on one of those banners in there, enshrined in the Scotiabank Arena.
That'd be outstanding. In an alumni jacket. The first fan ever with an alumni jacket up in
hey,
the...
Hey, never know. Never know.
I like
that. Speaking of which, oh, dog, have you tested the alumni lounge yet or no?
Have I been? No, I haven't this year. I haven't.
Well, that's just
year.
Disappointing to hear that. The pesto penny pasta or whatever the boys enjoy there, they've held a couple on the side for you. So they're ready for you.
There you go.
You should have seen your boy here when he put his lips on the penne pesto. He thought that was, I mean, I will say there wasn't a ton of it left. There wasn't a ton of it left, but his food was the favorite part. Forget about the alumni guys, and the fact you don't have to pay for it is a pretty good deal.
Well, that's I'm in there. You know how I operate. Like I'm trying to stay to the side. Meanwhile, Sittler's in there. I think Lanny was in there one night. Cujo's in there, and I'm doing laps eating the food that I shouldn't be eating because I'm not necessarily invited to begin with. And it is a spectacular setup. Setup.
It's an amazing setup for our guys. Toronto Maple Leaf alumni do such an outstanding job. since Brendan's taken over, especially with just welcoming the guys, not only into the alumni lounge, but just being a part of the group, whether it be going to the Leafs golf tournament and things of that nature. It's just been a pleasure to be a part of this group, and that's the way it should be. We're the Toronto Maple Leafs.
With Darcy Tucker. So team bonding, a high priority. Always telling us stories about you guys up in Gravenhurst back in the day and Pat Quinn supporting the team bonding. Do you remember that?
Pat was the best at the bonding. He wanted to see it for 30 seconds, and then he wanted to get to his watering hole as fast as he could and get a pint of Molson in himself. He was the best that way. But you know what? Just a great man, Pat. Jeff and I could sit here and have a segment once a week and tell Pat Quinn stories, and it would bring you to tears sometimes with laughter and tears of sadness sometimes. But he was just a great human being.
Yep, the old Gravenhurst team bonding. I love those stories. Yeah, those are the best. And
did you tell him about when we were in the lobby and he gets the... You were thinking, oh, boy, Pat's here. Now what's going to happen? And he was like, okay, that's great, boys. Keep it up.
Well, one of my favorite things Pat would do is he would describe a guy being a complete idiot before the video actually started. Like, he would say, we got guys swimming around like Jambonis out there. And then he would play the video, and you'd see Brian McCabe swimming in the corner. So then Brian McCabe would just be like, okay, this is basically just insulting me. But he would have the little dig right before he pressed play. It was the most beautiful. And he hated, Tux, wouldn't you agree, that he hated doing video work. Like, he just did not want to do it.
Jeff, you got here when he actually started doing video. You should have seen before he did the video. He would do the Indy 500 before practice for 20 minutes, and then he'd stand at the board for 25 more minutes and go over the four goals against the night before. And just, he wouldn't say the guy's name, but everybody knew who it was that give up the opportunity in the slot. And we got a guy here that doesn't know where he's going in his own zone.
I love it. Does it? Listen, not going to be too ruthless, but everyone knows who the guy is when we got a guy. Yep. Everyone knows who the guy is.
Everybody.
Yeah, everyone. He is Darcy Tucker, and again, Molson Canadian, and the Toronto Maple Leafs introduced the Molson Hall of Fan to enshrine Canadian hockey fans. Fans can nominate themselves by sharing why they belong in the Molson Hall of Fan for the chance to be inducted at Scotiabank Arena. That's a really cool detail. I mean, that's up at Scotiabank. Give us the website one more time, Tuck, so people know where they're going and how they do this.
Absolutely. It's MolsonHallOfFan.ca. /Maple Leafs, and I can't wait to see all the people that come out to share a photo and video. There's going to be some really good ones.
Oh, there'll be some great ones for sure. And actually, I was thinking about you a couple nights ago during that Foligno-Dillon fight, and I don't know if you saw it, the Superman punch from Foligno.
I did. I don't know what I'd have done with that. I'm just lucky that O-Dog was trying to protect me from Chara that one time when we were playing the Bruins. He had Char off to the side, so I could take on Mara. It was great job, O-Dog. You kept him at an arm's length.
How'd you pull that one off?
Well, we were just, for some reason, he wanted to kill everybody, but we were buddies. We played in an all-star game together, and as soon as the all-star game was over, he'd always talk to me on the face-offs, and we were buddies. And
so
I
what, you
like,
just went over and like started a conversation?
You just give up. You just act like you're like the ultimate veteran. You're like, hey, come on now, chill out. And they either buy it or they don't. Because if he says, get out of my way, I'm going to kill that guy, then it's like, okay, sorry, pal. But sometimes it worked.
There you go. I love it right in the middle
of
things.
It's all about timing.
Yeah, taking care of Big Z. Perfect. Yeah, the Superman punch, man. That would.
I got no time for that. Like, I don't know.
I don't know what he was doing. Like, Dillon.
Well, BX did it a couple of years ago and knocked somebody out, which is kind of cool. It looked, but it's not WWE. If you want to fight normally, like hockey players, go ahead. I don't know. Super punch, not for me. Although it wasn't my gig anyway.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if I could pull off the Superman punch. That's a long way to jump for me, so I don't know if I could pull it off or not. But, when I fought, it was just survival. Somebody was going down, me or somebody else. So there was no defense when I fought.
Well, where were you? Who was going to step in when Big Z went after McCabe? Was there anyone out there trying to have that conversation with him? Or
no, what? Well,
I think Pony was standing next to him, and the next thing I knew, Pony was behind the net by himself, so Caber had to take him on.
Yeah, there's your answer.
There was no chance. There was no chance when Caber dropped his gloves. It was like a helicopter. He picked that 240-pound man up and helicoptered him around. Our bench was in tears laughing, but at the same time, so worried that Caber was going to get through it.
He survived it, and those vids and the pics are out there. But I give him credit. The gloves were off, right? Like, he was like, I guess if we're going, we're going. Big Z's not one that many people were knocking the door on, for sure. But
Caber should have had his gloves glued on, trust me. He couldn't fight a lick.
Hold on.
Great defenseman, but couldn't fight a lick.
Yep, the seatbelt play. That was my play back in the day. Hold on for dear life if you can, if you have to. Again, Molson Canadian, the Maple Leafs introduced the Molson Hall of Fame to enshrine Canadian hockey fans. Fans can nominate themselves by sharing why they belong in the Molson Hall of Fame for the chance to be inducted down at Scotiabank Arena. All right, buddy. We'll leave it there. Good luck with this. I think I'll probably see you soon, and we always appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Hazy, sharpen up for that big game match you got in the morning, bud.
Yep. All right, buds. We'll see you tomorrow.
There
he is, Darcy Tucker, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
What's going on in the morning?
Yeah, I got a little match tomorrow morning. It's there's been a match play kind of March Madness type of thing, and I'm in the finals, and it goes tomorrow morning. So,
do you know the guy?
Yeah, it's well, we're doing like a Stableford thing. There's myself and three other guys. So Tux was in it. A lot of guys were in it, and it's just slowly been picking people off. And yeah, he'll be out in front of us, pace car, and then the big match is going on. It's going to be freezing tomorrow. Like, it's supposed
That's
to be three
not
or four
fun,
degrees.
Dude.
That's yeah. I don't know. It's going to be a test of will more than anything else. Because if it's three or 4 degrees and that cold, that's really difficult to play.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're literally trying to hope to play bogey golf and see what that does for you in that way.
Exactly. Weather. Exactly. Like, I'd sign off if I could shoot 84, 85 right now. I think it might do it, because some guys are just going to be so uncomfortable. Myself.
Well, what's
included.
The other guy's cap?
It's a variety. Like, there's one guy who's got a high cap, like really high cap. That's
trouble. He's out. He's
well,
out.
Well, maybe not, because he's getting strokes, right? Like, that's the thing. He's getting a lot. So he's playing for double bogeys as opposed to maybe bogeys. He can stay in it. Like,
the question is that guy allowed to put it in his pocket if he's making an eight?
Yes. Yeah. Once you hit a certain number, you're out. So it moves along and it gets quick. And then there's a couple other guys who are right around the same spot as mine. You know, where I'm at. My cap, my buddy Johnny's in there, and Ryan and Mark. I mean, that's the crew. So we're going out tomorrow. We'll see what happens. See where it stands. Full updates tomorrow afternoon. I'm sure people can't wait.
I can't.
Al's brother coming up. I ruined the surprise. We wanted Al's brother to storm in late, kind of like the Ultimate Warrior when he stormed into the ring to help.
Dude, it was Lloyd and Harry.
Yeah.
It was like Lloyd and Harry. You're my boy. It's like, I don't know. As soon as I think you're screwed up, whatever they say, it was totally redeemed himself. Totally redeemed himself. We had it all planned. Now he's just coming in like normal.
Now we'll pretend that this didn't happen. We'll pretend that I didn't tease that he was coming in for support.
Okay, we'll fake it, and then we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, we'll fake it to make it, and Al's brother will not be a part of the next segment. Forget that idea. It's not going to happen. We got Luke Wilson coming up later this afternoon. Our buddy Max Kerman coming up of Arkells. They got a new album that just came out recently. They're hitting the road soon, too. We always love catching up with Max. He was down in the building last night at Scotiabank as well, so we'll catch up with him. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So some of the benefits of working from home is you can go upstairs and just take a peek and find out what's going on up there, and maybe some dinner plans and this weather. Grab some food and forecast, you know, what could be happening at 7 o'clock. And this weather screams soup season. Yeah, soup season. Stew.
I don't consider it a meal unless it's like a stew. If there's not giant pieces of beef and like a big like potato in there, like it's like I can't. Regardless of how much time and effort, not that me and my wife would do anything like that. We don't cook at all, like at all. But it's got to be a stew to be a meal.
I'm with you on stews. I love stew. It is stew season. I'll grant you that. But a roasted red pepper soup is
that's it? That's an appy, right?
That can't be an appy, but if you, it depends on the size of the bowl. It depends on how much you decide to eat. You know, it's an appy if you choose to make it an appy. That can be a full meal.
I'm sorry. I love your wife, and I bet you she makes a mean,
phenomenal roasted red pepper soup. Phenomenal.
But it's like, that's not a meal, man. Unless you do a 60-year-old man bread and butter situation,
yes, of course,
which you know what that routine looks like. There's
yes.
more butter than bread.
Yes.
And there's dunking and there's all kinds of other things going on. That just can't be the main deal.
That goes without saying. I'm disappointed you would even mention that. Of course, there's a baguette upstairs with a brick of butter.
Dude, have you ever watched like your uncle's doctor up a piece of bread and butter at a
Thanksgiving? It's the best. My grandpa, we used to go for like fish and chips. There was a place on Mount Pleasant, the best fish and chips in the city. A place called Penrose. Anyone from North Toronto would know about Penrose. The best. And you know it's coming. Like, it was the fish was massive. The fries, the portion of fries was massive. And he'd be asking for more bread. He'd be like, I need some more bread here. And just the butter, it was butter with some bread, right? It was butter with a side of some bread.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how you're doing that. Like, you got a
double
fish coming.
The uncle dad move, which was an alarming, like the amount of salt they would put on stuff. Dude,
outrageous.
I only put salt on one item of food, and that's corn on the cob. I have never put salt on one stitch of food in my entire
life. Really? Never on like fries or anything like that?
Dude, do you know how much salt's on a French fry to begin with? Why do you need more salt on that?
If you go to a fast food joint or whatever, but if you're making the fries, although you just indicated that you don't make anything, so you don't bring anything in.
No.
I'm with you. You don't need to. My sister consumed more salt as a child. I don't know if she's, I don't think she still does it, but she would get like McDonald's fries, which are the saltiest food item on earth.
That is gross.
And add salt. Like, add salt. I would be watching her. I'm like, how are you eating those? Like, honestly, how would you, like, you're going to need to consume 3 liters of water after you eat those fries.
I've seen, man, someone like just you watch the uncle routine or your dad. It's like the amount of salt going on to the food items. It's like you have just ruined whatever has been prepared for you.
Right.
That is outrageous. Butter and salt back in the day.
It's not
legendary.
Seasoning anymore. It's changing the whole complexion of the meal. It's salt. It's salted food and buttered up food. That's what it becomes. And you're right, man. The butter, though. Like now it's margarine or whatever. Like, there's still butter for sure, but back in the day, it was just so unhealthy. So unhealthy. But
Back in the day, I'd put my own dad up in the butter roll, tearing a butter roll in half and getting the dinner roll in half and getting the butter on the table and putting a slab on it. Mm-hmm. He was Gretzky of it.
Yeah. Hall of Fame performances.
All day.
Well, I contend it's soup season. I feel like Al's brother probably will as well, but Al's brother's not going to be included in this, right? Like this, we're going to pretend like we haven't been doing the show for the first 90 minutes because this is big news. You know, you've been pushing towards this for the past couple of days that Al's brother is being cut out at the knees.
I feel like it's time to make these selections on my own. He has put me into enough trouble, and I feel like it's time to do this stuff on my own. And that's just how it's... My guy! My guy! I knew you weren't. I knew you weren't, pal. I knew you weren't.
I love it. I see you two together. I cannot picture this happening without the two of you linked and connected.
I never
at the
doubted
here.
You, by the way. I don't blame you. I never doubted you. You're my guy.
Even if you didn't want me here, I was going to be here for moral support. Oh, we're a team. We
there
are a team.
Go. Look at that.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
You're more than moral support. You're going to be driving the ship as per usual. What do you have for us?
Okay, before we get to that, let me set the scene. Let me do a little read here. This week's NFL picks brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. So you guys are on the clock tonight. The Browns are at home. This line opened, I want to say 5.5, Al's brother, and it is down to 1.5 because Case Keenum is the quarterback and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are both out. So the number one running attack in football is not intact because the two starters are not playing and Baker Mayfield not playing tonight. Browns at home laying 1.5 against Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos. Al's brother, the floor is yours.
Look, this is a tough game. You say that we get layups. This might be the toughest game that we've had to pick.
Like, okay.
You take a look at these matchups, and if this was early in the season, clearly you're taking the Cleveland Browns. But no Baker Mayfield, and I think they'd be able to get away with it with Case Keenum. Because keep in mind, Case Keenum, his offensive coordinator, when he had his one successful year in Minnesota, was Kevin Stefanski. The Minnesota Miracle was Kevin Stefanski.
Okay.
So he's had success in the Stefanski systems. The problem that I have when I want to back the Browns today is that running game is gone. The offensive line is banged up. They have no right tackle. Their left tackle, Jedrick Wills, pretty good one, but he's on a hobbled ankle. He's going to be going up against Von Miller. I don't think he's going to be taking him too lightly. I don't know if I can get over all the injuries. You know, Jarvis Landry, he's coming back, but he's probably going to be on a snap count, not going to make much of a difference.
Okay.
Odell's injured. At the end of the day, I think we've got to take the points. It's basically a pick 'em, so I'll take the 1.5 and go with the Broncos.
Wow. Oh, dog, your response to your partner, your guy who came out of the back and joined you in the ring today, taking the points in Denver on the road tonight.
I can't disagree with it. I love the selection. I am in love with that selection.
Okay. Well.
And that is why we are a team and will never be separated, no matter what happens.
Well,
my guy.
Thank you, O. I appreciate that. A couple more trends that are going in the right direction for us.
Yep.
The Broncos, 11-3 against the spread in the last 14 Thursday nighters. So they come prepared.
Okay,
on
now you
got to
stop because every time you read off one of those things, we get slaughtered.
All right. Let
me counter with a stat that that I'm going to bring to the table.
Before you do that, Al's brother, can you listen to this guy because he generally has some smart applications or ideas when a selection comes about. So please go ahead.
Denver has 3 wins on the season. Do you know who they've beaten?
Yep.
The New York Jets, the New York Giants, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are frauds. They're not a good team. I don't think they're a good team. I don't think Vic Fangio is a great coach. I think defensively they're pretty strong. I'll grant you that. But it's on the road, short week, basically a pick 'em. I like that I'm on the Browns tonight. I mean, the
With
Browns
Case
have a great
Keenum.
Defense as well. They've got quality tight ends. They've still got a decent O-line. I mean, Cleveland, they got to get cooking here, too. They're coming off an embarrassing loss. I like Cleveland tonight. I love that it's only 1.5.
I just don't see it happening. I mean, look at those injuries. Is this Browns team, the team that they're fielding tonight, any better than the Jags? Are they any better than New York?
Than the Jags? Yes, they're better than the Jags, Al's brother.
Hey, my Jags.
Is Myles Garrett playing tonight?
My Jags got us a win last week, all right?
Yes, they did, and that was a good pick. I'll grant you that. But listen, Cleveland, they still got a lot of talent, man. They've got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball.
Hey, so you can't ignore the amount of injuries
and
to the key personnel.
100%. I'm not disputing that. If the line was 4, 4.5, I think the Browns can still win by a field goal tonight. I guess is what I'm saying. I could see it being a field goal game, and I think that if it gets to that point, the Browns can win by a field goal. I don't think they're going to blow the doors off Denver. I just don't like Denver. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, what is he? I mean, Case Keenum's as good as he is, right? Like, it's at least a squat. I think it's pretty flat when it comes to the comparisons between the two quarterbacks. And Denver's 3-3, but it's a fraudulent 3-3, where the Browns have lost to teams like Arizona, you know, like quality teams. So I'm okay with the Browns. I'm okay with the Browns tonight. So there you go. Team Al Dog, they are officially on the Denver Broncos plus 1.5 tonight. Moving ahead to the Sunday games, because the Leafs are playing at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Someone sent us a note. Apparently the Leafs just determined they're playing at 6.
That's like, so bizarre.
When did that become possible?
Like, dude, I've never heard of it. And I had a couple notes saying they were looking forward to getting out to Pittsburgh earlier. How do you just decide? San Jose's playing on the back end of a back-to-back. What do they have to say about that?
Exactly. When did the Leafs just get to determine, no, we're playing at 6? You know, like what, now on Saturdays they want to play at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? They can just say we're playing at 4?
I actually
we got a party
would like
tonight?
That, though. I would like a 4 o'clock start.
every once in a while might be okay on the weekends for the, you know, kids, and you have a night out afterwards, and it's not going to go as late. But I'm surprised by that quote, that the Leafs can just determine, based on what Keith said today, that because they have a back-to-back, they want to play at a different time than they generally would. But that is the case tomorrow. They're playing at 6 o'clock on TSN. So we'll get to our Sunday picks as well. The 1 o'clock game, I hate this game so much because it feels like the Thursday nighter. It's basically the Thursday nighter 2.0. Chiefs minus 5.5 at the Titans. I literally just played this game like on Monday night.
Didn't let the grappler get into your head here, did you?
No, I haven't spoke with the grappler. He knows better than that after the last, you know, situation. But I this is where I hate playing the same teams twice in a row because you get conflicted because of what you just saw. I think Kansas City's second half in Washington was very impressive.
Do you know, want to know who I would take?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would take KC all day.
I think you would. I know you would because you love Mahomes. You love the favorites. I'm going to take the Titans plus 5.5. And you know what?
Did you not just listen to me?
I did, and it had nothing to do with your commentary. It has everything to do with my own stupidity on Monday night, going against my pick, going up against my feelings, going against the Titans. And now this is the official – this is a definition of trying to dig yourself out of a hole, right?
Yeah.
This is a guy who's on tilt, and I'm like, fine, I'm going with the Titans again. I'm going to bet the Titans every single week until they finally cover because I threw away a pick that I knew was coming in. So I will take the Titans plus 5.5. I think, again, Derrick Henry's a stud. They're a good team. They're not a great team, but a good team at home getting 5.5. I'll take it. I'll take the Titans.
Yeah, I like this game. Like, the Titans, it's definitely going to be a close one. It's a really good line, I think. And the run game, the Chiefs have just, their defense has been abysmal. But here's the thing when it comes to KC and why their season has kind of gone awry. Patrick Mahomes hasn't been taking care of the football particularly well. No one on the Chiefs has, for that matter.
No.
They've got a lot of turnovers. If they can clean up those turnovers and not give away extra possessions to the opposition, I think that that'll be favorable for this team. So if he can just hang on to the football, complete some drives, mm-hmm. I think that the KC Chiefs can get back rolling and be that Super Bowl contender that we all know that they are.
Well, I mean, all of a sudden, a lot changes in the AFC West, right? Like, the Chargers get spanked at Baltimore, and then it's like they have some flaws. They might. Vegas is dealing with disarray, even though they won.
Who's the favorite right now?
Well, I think it's probably still Kansas City. I think it probably should be. 2 weeks ago when the Chargers went into Kansas City and won, they were the favorites, but things change quickly in the NFL, especially early in the season, man.
Buffalo, up until Monday night, Buffalo was probably the favorite.
Yeah, the AFC, I think you're right.
Tennessee, and it's like, okay, now where they sit?
It's probably Baltimore that might be sitting at the top, right, of the power rankings in the AFC. All right, the 4 o'clock game, you'll love this one. Lions at Rams, the homecoming of Jerry Goff.
Why do we pick this game?
Because it's Jerry Goff. That's exactly why. And you
I was just going
to
say, how does this come across our docket? Like, it's only because of Jerry Goff?
Absolutely. Jerry Goff back in L.A. taking on the Rams. The Rams are laying 15. The Rams are a 15-point favorite against the Detroit Lions. You guys are on this game. Who do you like, Jerry Goff and the Lions?
15?
15. It's a massive line. I love this game. I love that we're playing this game. This is exactly why we do this kind of stupidity. Who do you like, Al's brother?
I got to be honest with you. It is such a big number. What did they lose by last week? They got slapped last week. You know what? Matt Stafford, he's got something to prove. He's going to go out. He's going to have a game. I do not see Jerry Goff having his revenge game. But
no,
Matt Stafford, oh, I could see that coming. He's going to put up touchdowns on touchdowns on touchdowns.
You're thinking what I'm thinking, right?
Absolute blowout.
Yes.
We're on the Rams.
You guys
We're
are on the Rams.
The Rams.
Look at you two. You guys are back in sync. It's just so great to see. Hall & Oates, Al's brother and the O-Dog. Everything works out in the end. You guys are on the Rams. Let's not forget, the Rams have a history of losing games when the spread is too big. We saw it with the Jets last year. We saw it with the Bucs a couple of years ago. I know it's a bit of a different team with Stafford and all that kind of stuff, but Jerry Goff's getting called out by Dan Campbell. The Lions are desperate for a win.
Yeah, that's going to help.
I think Jerry shows up and doesn't do enough to win, but keeps it within 2 touchdowns.
No.
That screams backdoor cover. Screams a late touchdown by Jerry Goff for a 14-point win by the Rams. The Sunday Nighters, Colts at Niners. Niners laying 4. I hate this game as well. I really... I don't, because the
tough
Niners.
Week,
have,
eh? Tough week.
You don't like being involved with the Niners whatsoever.
I mean, I can't get a read on the Niners. I thought they'd bounce back this year, and they have not been very good. Like they're a 2-3 team. They haven't been that good. They're coming off a bye. That's the one thing that scares me a little bit. If you're Indianapolis, is teams coming off a bye generally put themselves in a good position. So I will go back to the well. I'm going to take the Niners. I'll lay the points. 4 points. I will take San Francisco. You're a Colts fan, Al's brother. I know, obviously, you're going to take Indianapolis.
Yeah, you know, and I love this.
They've been better recently. I'll grant you that. But Carson Wentz under the lights Sunday
he
night.
Sucks. I hate it.
Well,
like
last
that.
Time Sunday night under the lights, I'm pretty sure he put up, what, 400 yards?
Yep, covered the number, too. That was very lucrative for me. You're right, Al's brother. I do remember that clearly.
Yeah, let's agua under the bridge on that one. Agua under the bridge. But, look, I actually do like Indy a lot in this game. I'm not sold that Trey Lance is going to be this amazing quarterback that people think he is. People looked at Trey Lance like he could be the next Patrick Mahomes. Maybe in the future, not even Patrick Mahomes.
He's not
but
being
like,
Patrick Mahomes.
No, but he was touted coming out. He has the upside to be that guy. Out of all the quarterbacks in this draft class, he had the guy with the highest ceiling, I would say. But he hasn't looked that great over the last couple of games. He's yet to top 200 passing yards. The Indianapolis Colts have a great defense. Darius Leonard, my boy, Bobby Okereke, also a really solid player.
Okay.
But it's the same thing. Like, he is an athletic quarterback, and those two guys, I think, are going to be able to spy him. He's not going to be able to escape the pocket. They have a good pass rush with a four-man rush. They'll be able to keep him in the pocket, force him to throw the ball, just something he hasn't done very well. So I believe that the Colts not only will cover the number, I like them a little bit of a sprinkle on the money line.
You like the money line? Well, I guess so, right? It's close enough. You think they can cover that number, you're probably getting some pretty good plus money for Indy to win on the road. So there you have it. Those are the Thursday night pick, the Sunday picks, and this week's NFL picks brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. You're a man of culture, Al's brother. Do you believe soup, if it's a hearty soup, is a meal? Like, I know it's a Seinfeld episode we're dealing with right now, but I think so. Roasted red pepper soup with some bread,
that's enough
for me. You're
talking to a guy that has chicken wings on a charcuterie board.
Yeah, exactly. He's a professional when it comes to
this.
Yeah,
I know my food. My uncle owns a soup shop in Niagara Falls, Soups and Things. Shout out. I am a soup guy. I am a soup guy.
Yes, you absolutely are.
Adore it.
Let me put on my surprise face. But for a soup
I'm a
to be
soup guy.
For a soup to be like the only thing you're getting for dinner, doesn't it have to be like a hearty type of stew? You give me some kind of, what is that?
Yeah, roasted red pepper soup.
Roasted red pepper. That's not cutting it. I need other stuff.
Well,
involved.
I mean, it's a creamy roasted red pepper is a creamier soup, correct?
That you know that
yes.
Soups and things, you would know that, Al's
yes.
Brother.
So that's a nice creamy soup. I feel those are very hearty, nice cream soups.
Okay.
Like a chicken noodle, you may be able to pass that off with lunch, but it's not something that I'm going to be eating for dinner. But a nice roasted red pepper, or maybe a loaded potato, one of my favorites,
very
potato leek. Those are nice and hearty. I do
Al's
appreciate
brother,
one of those.
Way
beef
off
and
topic.
Barley.
This is way off topic, but if you were to have the ultimate feed. Like,
oh man,
no more time on earth. What is your last meal going right in front of you?
My last meal, if I had to, like, am I starting with a whole menu or just like one food item? Where are we
just
going?
Just give
here?
Me Appy main course. Keep it simple.
All right. So Appy, let's go with a nice, beautiful charcuterie board, because that's also going to include the chicken wings on there. You know that. And then a big fat steak.
Yes.
I love me some steak. How about a surf and turf? I'm cheating a little bit, but a nice surf and turf steak, lobster, some nice butter. Buddy.
It is spectacular.
Oh,
surf and turf
in.
Is the meal of kings. You are right.
How do
brother.
You have
you
room
a
after a charcuterie board with wings
have
on
you
it?
Ever heard of a charcuterie board as an appy for one individual?
Well, that's what it is. It's
well,
an appetizer.
For a table of 10 or something else, brother.
Like,
but
excuse me, bring me a board.
Yeah,
at the restaurant.
I want the full board, and
yes.
I want it covered.
Cover
like, I don't
this
want to see a speck.
At least five different
cover
meats.
This table with Italian meats and chicken wings, because that's my
that's
my
a typical
appetizer.
Sunday. That's a typical Sunday at Al's brother's house. I'll be honest with you. It really is.
All right, Al's brother. I didn't know you were a soup connoisseur. I didn't realize it was a family trait. Al's brother's uncle is into the Soup game. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I guess it is. I mean, you better be a Soup fan if that's the case.
He's got a cheesesteak soup, like a Philly cheese soup.
Really?
Oh, game changer.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind testing that out. I got to get down there when I'm in Niagara. You got to hook me up. I'll get down there and check it out.
Soups and Things. Check it out.
Soups and Things. All right. Shout out. Al's brother's uncle. All right, Al's brother. Good luck, buddy, in the games tonight and throughout the weekend, and we'll do this again down the road.
Thank you very much. Oh, we're going to kill it this week, buddy.
You know it. I love you, pal.
Two peas in a pod. Just a couple of winners. Positive energy from Team Al Dog going into the Thursday night.
All haters guts by Sunday at 7.
Text chain will be live. It'll be live.
And by the way, if we're getting slaughtered again, like, just lay off the text because you're the last guy. I need you to chirp Hayes or...
I won't say anything.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Al.
I think it's me. Because every time I toss out a text, I usually do it like right after half. Something great happens, and immediately, it tilts. The game tilts, and Backdoor Brian comes through with the cover.
Oh, man.
Like clockwork, I can't believe it.
You jinx yourself all the time.
Every time.
Like, you jump the gun all the time. Like, someone will make the first completion of the game. You're like, there it is. We're cooking now. I'm like, Al's brother, we're 5 seconds into the game. You got to relax here.
Yeah, this weekend, I'll hold my commentary until at least the fourth quarter, if not even like 2 minutes to go.
That can get dangerous as well. What about my Braves tonight? Do you like the Atlanta Braves to close things out? Max Fried on the mound. Fried's numbers since the All-Star break are actually gross. It's like Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez type numbers. I think he goes he's not going the distance tonight, but I think he shows up, pitches well, and bats are alive. I like the Braves. I like the Braves. I think they punch a ticket. Merry Hart, shout out. See you later.
I'm hoping that the Dodgers come through, though. I'd love to see a Game 7. A Game 7 between these guys, I think, would be electric. Absolutely electric. So I'm hoping the Braves pull through, or the Dodgers.
The Dodgers, well, they got to win two to make that wish come to life for you, Al's brother.
That's true.
We'll see. We got that ball game going tonight, too. We'll get to that later this afternoon. Luke Wilson still to come. Our buddy Max Kerman of Arkell still to come as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we are giving away a pair of tickets this week. Leafs taking on the Detroit Red Wings Saturday, October 30th. And every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And tomorrow, you will have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue. Early in his career, this former Maple Leaf played on a line alongside a rookie named Wendell Clark. All right, we're familiar with Wendell. We know what's up with Wendell Clark, but I guess when Wendell was a rookie back in the 85 season, this Leaf played on his line. So there's your clue for Thursday. I have no idea who it is.
I don't either.
Like, no idea. You're digging into the 80s. That means he probably started his career in the
70s. I know who it is.
You know who it is?
Want me to tell you?
I don't think you know who it is.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, go
ahead. It's a giveaway. It's an easy... When you say two other Canadian teams, it's an easy one. Gary Lehman. It's Gary Lehman.
It might be. Who knows? I honestly don't have the answer. Grappler doesn't give us the answer because he's worried we're going to expose it. Maybe we just did. And if we did, whatever. I mean, it's our show. I guess we can do whatever we want. It's not like it's legally binding. But
Grappler just said, no, it isn't. It's not Gary Lehman.
Not Jerry Lehman. Gary Lehman. 50 goals for Gary Lehman. And he was the centerpiece of the Gilmore trade going the other way. And I think he had actually a couple of pretty good years in Calgary. Like, I think his numbers were fine.
But that, I think you said one of the clues are he played in Calgary and Montreal. That's Gary Lehman.
I don't remember. I know it was two other Canadian cities. I don't remember if they actually were named. Did we say Calgary, Montreal? I can't remember if we said that or not.
I have no idea who else it would be if it's not him.
Yeah, I don't know either. Leafs in 85. I mean, I might actually have an idea who it is. Yeah, I think I might know who it is. I'm not going to say, but I think I might know. I think he might be a friend of the show.
Just say it. Who cares?
I think he's a friend of the show. That's all I'm going to say. Because I don't want to give it away. I mean, we got to work for these tickets, right? These are big games we're talking about. A Saturday night with Detroit in town, crossing the border. First time in a couple of years. We give away Raptors tickets as well in the next hour to see DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls in town on Monday night. Man, was that a disappointing effort by that team. And it was interesting to hear Fred VanVleet afterwards, like, basically saying he was telling the young guys, like, you think everything's so cool right now during the preseason, wait till we get to the regular season. And I guess it was an example of that last night where they beat Washington in the preseason and everything was looking good for the Raps. And Washington, who are not a great team, clearly had multiple gears that they found for the regular season. Mm-hmm. And that is a learning experience. Like if you're a rookie or a young guy and you don't really know any better, you would think, hey, preseason, we're rocking. Yeah. These guys aren't trying in the preseason. Veterans in the NBA don't care about the preseason.
No one does.
Nobody does in any
league. No veteran player in any. But I hope one thing with Freddie Hayes, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but he's got to play. Like I know he wants to assume a leadership role, but if you get sometimes you get too involved, you think you're like this mature player. You got to worry about young guys and this and that, like. Play first, and it's like that stuff kind of takes care of itself. Mm-hmm. If you focus too much on it, it's like it's not. Just try not to be Johnny Leader, where everything's like, I got to address the team, I got to address the fans. Just play first. Play first.
I think that's,
and I mean that respectfully.
No, I agree with your messaging because there is a big, big hole in the room without Kyle Lowry there.
Right. And don't force it on people. Don't say you got to address this. You got to make sure the young guys are taken care of. Sometimes Freddie is not like he's been around forever.
No, and he played horribly last night too.
Yeah.
Right? Like he can say what he wants about Precious Achiuwa and Delano Banton and you know how Scotty Barnes looked. Freddie didn't play well. So
no, play first.
Yeah, you got to play first. You got to perform, and the rest will come. Luke Wilson in the final hour. Max Kerman in the final hour. We're looking ahead to the Leafs and Sharks tomorrow night. There's a bunch of NHL news and notes as well. We'll get into Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.